The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's the battle of the heavyweights today, ladies and gentlemen. The Thrilla in Manila. We've got Ron DeSantis about to throw down with Donald John Trump, and we're going to have one heck of a fun day talking politics. So, look, later today, Ron DeSantis is going to announce his big run for the White House on Twitter, and it's going to be one of these situations where I don't think we're going to get to see them. Is this just a back-and-forth audio? You're not going to be able to personally ask questions, but allegedly, you're going to be able to submit a question, and if they like your question, they will ask that question of the candidate. Pretty much like a Biden White House press conference, to be perfectly blunt about it. But anyway, I'm very curious to hear from you today. Who you like here? Do you like Donald Trump? Do you like Ron DeSantis? Who do you like and why? You're going to have to, when you call into the program today, you're going to have to explain to me why your guy is the guy that's going to beat, or gal for you Nikki Haley fans out there, why your person, your candidate, is the best candidate. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number today. That's 844-747-8868. We have a poll up on the Todd Starnes Show Twitter page, and we're asking you the exact same question on that page. Who do you like and why? Why do you think your guy can beat the Democrats? By the way, right now the polls, Trump leading by 64% to DeSantis 31%, pretty much what the national polling data looks like. I checked with the Real Clear Politics numbers. They aggregate all of the polls, and Trump is leading everybody by 37%. It's pretty much a landslide. But if you watch Fox News, they're really throwing in for Ron DeSantis. First interview is after the Twitter event is going to be with Fox News Channel. And I don't think anybody's going to be watching Fox, but if I were DeSantis, I'd be on Newsmax right now. So look, the Mrs. Casey DeSantis published a video which, let me say, very well done, looks great. The messaging, whoever wrote the script did a heck of a job. But I want to go back. We're going to play this, and I just have one significant question about this campaign ad, which I think was really supposed to be launched today, but I guess she got excited and launched it last night. Cut number 8.
They call it faith because in the face of darkness, you can see that brighter future. A faith that our best days lay ahead of us. But is it worth the fight? Do I have the courage? Is it worth the sacrifice? America has been worth it every single time.
Hello, my name is Ron DeSantis. I'm a running for Florida governor. Hello. Wait, who's the British guy? Was that supposed to be DeSantis? Who was that? Do we know? I've been trying to, someone sent me a message last night. They said, Starnes, you got to watch this video. I was giving a speech, by the way, yesterday, just a brief tangent here. I was giving a speech to a bunch of, man, red-blooded American patriot
conservatives in West Tennessee, Tipton County Republican Party. I'm just going to say something right now, and it's going to tick off a lot of people, but it needs to be said. If we had more Republican parties like the Republican Party in Tipton County, Tennessee, this would be a red nation. These people are on fire. They know what's up, and they're getting to business. And one of the things they're really doing so well and so effectively, they were able to turn their school board races into partisan races to weed out the radical leftists who were on the local school boards, because those radical leftists are on school boards all over the place. It doesn't matter how big or small your town is. So good for you. So I was coming back, driving back to Memphis, and it was a late night. Someone sent me a text. They said, "Starnes, you got to watch this DeSantis video. But who is this guy? Who is the narrator?" And we can't figure. It sounds like Jude Law, sort of. Can we play that one more time, Dylan? And
they call it faith because in the face of darkness, you can see that brighter future. A faith that our best days lay ahead of us.
Okay,
but is it worth the fight?
I can't. It does sound like Jude Law, but I don't know. That's not Ron DeSantis. He's Italian, right? Italian, British? Who knows? All right, so we're going to be taking your calls on this. It's a straightforward question, and I want to hear from everybody. If you're calling in and you're supporting DeSantis, great. Just tell me why DeSantis is your guy. But I think this radio show will get a pretty good feel. I think we have our finger on the pulse of the nation, the political pulse of the nation, on this radio program. 844-747-8868. Let's start in North Carolina. John is listening to us. John, who you got for 2024?
Let's say Trump.
Why Trump?
Trump did it before. He did it before. He'll do it again. DeSantis has a better track record doing what he's doing in Florida. That's it.
You see, I like that, John, because again, DeSantis is a good guy. I mean, you have Trump people out there saying, "Well, he's really a closet liberal." That's a stretch, but again, I know that there's going to be a lot of mud being slung around, and people need to get ready
exactly.
for that. We just have to make sure we don't kill each other.
Yeah, I don't want to see the mudslinging between the two of them because they're both great guys.
All right, John.
One of them's going to come out.
Yeah, you're right. One of them is going to come out victorious, and the other will be second place, also known as a loser. John, appreciate the call. And it may not be DeSantis. It could be Tim Scott, who is very well-funded, and Tim Scott has a lot of support. Keep in mind, Tim Scott also has the upper hand when it comes to the early primaries with South Carolina. So you could go in and theoretically, and if our good friend Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL, he is the political guru of Iowa, and he would know this better than I. But let's just say theoretically, you could have a situation where DeSantis wins Iowa, Trump takes New Hampshire, and Tim Scott wins South Carolina. I mean, that could become a very interesting scenario there. Let's go to Sue in Gainesville, Georgia. Who do you like, Sue?
I like DeSantis or Tim Scott. I think that Trump will go down as one of the best presidents ever, but he can only serve another 4 years, where the other two could serve 8 years potentially. And I think that Trump is such a target, and I'm afraid that those people that are kind of in the middle won't vote for Trump and will be back with Biden again. And the other thing I like about DeSantis and Tim Scott is that they aren't biting. You know, Trump, every time somebody says something negative, he's got to say something negative back. And those two have taken the high road. They're not biting. They're not taking the bait. And I think that will serve them well.
Sue, a couple of things that President Trump may have to contend with. Number one, Fox News has thrown in for DeSantis. So he's going to be getting a lot of bad PR from Fox. You know, the other part
right.
of it is Elon Musk put out a statement yesterday that was sort of interesting. He said America's looking for a more normal Republican candidate. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I think in Elon Musk's mind, it looks like Ron DeSantis.
Right. Well, like I said, I think Trump has been a fantastic president, but I'm just so afraid that he will turn off too many people again with his rhetoric. And I just think that the other two candidates are not taking the bait with all the negative press. They're I just think that they're going to have a better chance.
All right, Sue, we got you down. You're a DeSantis pick. Ladies and gentlemen, what say you? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Ohio. Ian, listening to us online. All right, Ian, who do you like?
I like President Trump. And Todd, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I just want to say that I'm currently reading Culture Jihad. I think every American should read that. And then regarding President Trump, he is not by special interest. And he is someone that has a proven track record, and he kept his promises from 2016 when he became president. And he moved the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, and that meant a great deal to a lot of people. And he helped to secure the border. We started to. So I'm supporting President Trump. I think he could absolutely do it again. I absolutely love Ron DeSantis. I don't think it's his time now. And I think he's a great governor of Florida. And I agree with John from North Carolina. I'd like to see less mudslinging. Thank you so much, Todd.
All right, Ian. Well, thank you for the call, and thanks for the kind words about Culture Jihad. You know, the thing about Trump, promises made, promises kept. And I think you will be hearing a lot of that, and I hope you will. You and I both know that it's hard to control President Trump. I don't think anybody can. So he is his own man, whether for better or for worse. What you see is what you get, and you may not like it, but at least you know what you're getting. And I think a lot of the other candidates are going to be more polished. They are going to be more handled. And every single one of them will try to be like Trump. They won't be themselves. They will be like Trump. And you watch and see how that plays out. But I think if that happens, it only works for Donald Trump. All right. Let's go to Brenda in Moorhead City, North Carolina. All right, Brenda, who do you have for 2024?
I have Donald Trump. He was a very good president before, and I really like the way he relates to people.
Brenda, go ahead, Brenda. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. I'm for Trump. He did a very good job before, and I really like the way he relates to people. I like his personality. And
Brenda, I think a lot of people agree with you there. I was when I was speaking to this gathering in Tipton County, Tennessee, yesterday, there was a gentleman. I always take questions at the end of my remarks, and there was a gentleman there, and he's a DeSantis guy, and he said he's really concerned about President Trump and whether or not he can control the temper, whether or not he can focus on the issue at hand and not have 2024 be a repeat or a rehash of what happened with the steal back in 2020. And that's going to be a factor for a lot of people. And so do not delude yourself, Trump supporters. That is going to be a big issue for a lot of Republican and independent voters. Brenda, we appreciate that call. We're going to take a quick break. And again, folks, this hour, I just want to get a good gauge on how this audience feels. Do you like Trump? Do you like DeSantis? Do you like Tim Scott? If none of those are your candidate, who do you support? And what do you want to hear from Ron DeSantis tonight? How does Ron DeSantis need to gain ground on Trump? 37 points down, how does DeSantis move the needle? Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. Well, I wanted to give you guys an update on how this big weight loss campaign is going. It's slow going, but it's good. We're heading in the right direction. And I made some switches. Like, you know, when I'm at Chick-fil-A, I was in the drive-thru the other day. And, you know, I'm a regular. And they were like, do you want the regular, Mr. Starnes? And I said, no. I want the grilled nuggets and I want the salad. By the way, that avocado lime salad dressing, that's the jam. You could put that on a flip-flop, it would taste good. So anyway, I've started making some changes in the diet, but what's really helping is Calitrin, which is an incredible product, and I take it every day, right after my last meal, take the Calitrin, and it's pretty amazing, folks, because it really does help with the weight loss. It's not overnight, but it's a good, steady process. And it's already working for me. Not only that, it helps me sleep at night. 7-8 hours of sleep. Used to get 3 to 4 hours of sleep. So I'm doing great there. And it's even helping out with the joints and everything. Now you say, okay, what kind of drugs are you taking? No drugs. It is drug-free. It is stimulant-free, which was a big thing for me. This is just all natural. And I want to encourage you to check out their great information they have. Write this website address down, TopLoss.com, TopLoss.com, and be sure to use my promo code if you decide to order, and then I want you to send me a message. Let me know how you like the product. Let me know how you're doing, and it's kind of nice to be losing weight together. So anyway, we're all slimming down for the summer season, as they say. All right, let's get back to the phones. Very simple question this first hour of the show. And we hear a lot of the pundits, but I want to hear from you. Who do you like? And what does DeSantis need to do if he is going to gain ground on Donald Trump? All right, let's get back to the phones here. Charles in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate. Charles, who you got in 2024?
Todd, I have Donald Trump in 2024, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he delivered on his campaign promises in 2016. He is the only person, I think, that has the recognition of the true problems that face in the country, from the deep state to energy independence to foreign policy. And I think he's the only person that has the guts to execute on, you know, to go after them and expose them. And God, what they tried to do to him in 2020, I hope he has anger and I hope he has vengeance, and he's the only person that can go in there, and I want to see him dismantle and destroy the administrative state completely, because I don't think any other of these candidates, Republican candidates, and I'm going to borrow a term from Steve Bannon, I'm going to call them the keyboard elves, because the combined poll numbers aren't even half of what Donald Trump's are. I think if they were in power, they would revert to being rhinos. The one thing, though, Todd, I want to see Donald Trump not do, he does not need to punch down. He does not need to go after Ron DeSantis or any other candidate. When you're that far ahead in the polls, you don't need to do that. He needs to go after Joe Biden, remind people about his accomplishments in the past, and remind people about what he's going to do in the future.
Charles, I think that's excellent advice. I know Team Trump listens to the program, and I hope they heard every single word you just said. And that's a great way to frame it. There's no need to punch down. Make them punch up, and we'll see how all of that plays out. Charles, appreciate that call. Let's go to Willie in New Jersey. All right, Willie, who do you like in 2024?
Definitely DeSantis. Clearly, he's looking to imitate a bit of Trump, and I think that'll help him. I think if he does some of the following things, to he'll definitely narrow the gap. If he kisses up to dictators, if he sexually assaults some women, if he tries to overthrow the government, I think those
things are all imitating. Are you saying Trump tried to overthrow the government?
Yeah. Don't you think that would help DeSantis?
No, I don't think it would. And I'm fairly certain Trump did not try to do that, Willie. But good try. Willie, appreciate you calling in there in the Garden State. By the way, Trump did not sexually assault anyone. Not guilty of rape. Come on. Got to do better. All right, 844-747-8868. Hang tight. We're going right back to your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
What do Americans think about how President Biden is handling the overall economy?
So his overall approval on the handling of the economy is not great. 34% of Americans approve, 66% disapprove. Take a look at his overall job approval. It's a little better than on the economy, but still low. 40% approval, 60% disapproval. And Jake, take a look at that presidential approval rating matched up against his modern era predecessors at this point in their presidency. Joe Biden's 40% where he is now is down here between Jimmy Carter and Donald Trump. Of course, they were just one-term presidents. He's hoping for a Reagan-esque turnaround.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. There you go. That's CNN and their take on Biden's approval rating, lower than any president since Jimmy Carter. Oh, boy, indeed. By the way, Brett Baer, just again, the DeSantis Network, the DeSantis News Channel, Brett Baer says Trump spent more money on DeSantis ads than supporting 2022 midterm candidates. Cut number 10.
Now the official campaign begins. So the question will be whether he closes the gap with the former president or whether this becomes a real brawl. We've already seen the former president, Donald Trump, spend more money on Ron DeSantis through his PAC and ads than they spent on supporting candidates in the midterms of 2022. That's a pretty staggering fact.
All right. Well, why is it staggering? My question is, how much money did Ron DeSantis spend on supporting 2022 midterm candidates? Ron DeSantis was actually in office. Donald Trump was not. Now, you can make the argument that the former president has a responsibility to get out there and support these midterm candidates. But my question is why? The RNC has pretty much tossed Trump aside. And we know for a fact that the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Romneys have all colluded to take out Donald Trump. So, look, I'm glad he actually spent some money, but if I were in Donald Trump's position, I probably wouldn't have spent a single dollar. But you know what Trump did do? He went into a lot of these communities and these swing states, and he held the big rallies. He platformed a lot of candidates. I didn't see Ron DeSantis doing that. So if Fox News wants to have that argument, at least make it, you know, legitimate, at least be, I don't know, what's the phrase I'm looking for here, Fox News? Fair and balanced. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jefferson, Georgia. Cheryl is hanging out with us today. Cheryl, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. So I had to chime in. I have been a Trump and only Trump forever. And if my brother and sister are listening to me, they'll kill me. But
why would they do? Why would they do that?
Of what I'm going to say. So I went to visit my girlfriends in Chicago from high school who are conservative. But listening to them, they all think Trump is too divisive. And what he says and all that. And I'm like, oh, crap. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
No, it's okay.
For the first time, I'm kind of getting an inkling of that. Nobody can do what he can do. Absolutely not. But on the other hand, we need somebody who could get in the White House. I totally agree with what Charles said, your caller. Stop talking about DeSantis. Stop, you know, stop hitting the fellow Republicans and hit the Democrats. I think that's what bothers people more, is the kind of silly back and forth, you know, the pet names and things like that. He's done so much. If he just focuses on that. But in the end, I want a Republican in the White House. And I don't know. I'm really conflicted right now.
The challenge here is we're not getting a good indication, even with all the polls out there. DeSantis, and we'll see what happens later this week. There will be new polls out once DeSantis officially announces, and we'll get a pretty good indication of where everybody is. Now, here's the point. If DeSantis is going to run the kind of campaign that, you know, that was featured in that ad, where you got a lot of lovely language and, you know, patriotic symbolism, I don't know if that moves the needle. He's going to have to sooner or later come out and personally attack Donald Trump. He's going to have to go after the former president. And that's when we will see, I think, if we are going to see the numbers shift, that's when it will happen. But DeSantis has a big job on his hands, Cheryl, because he's going to have to, he's got the establishment wing of the party on his side. But there aren't many of them. They got the money, but there aren't many of them. The question is, will he be able to attract people like you and the America First crowd?
Well, and he's beholden. He's beholden to the money, and Trump is not. That's huge.
Cheryl, I gotcha, and I suspect that there are other people out there. And look, suburban moms, this is a big, big voting block, and Trump is going to have to figure out a way to attract them as voters and not alienate folks. And that really is the key. He cannot alienate voting blocks. You can't allow that to happen. You just can't. Cheryl, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Victor in Maryland. Hi, Victor. What's on your mind today?
Well, the one thing I really like about Trump, when he does his rallies, he goes off script and he tells stories. And he reminds me of the late Gene Shepard, who used to talk all the time on a New York radio station. And he also wrote the book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. And he reminds me of Gene Shepard. And I think he's really folksy, and I just love it. DeSantis, what bothers me is, he's taken money from the establishment, the Bushes, people like that. And that really bothers me. With Trump, you don't have to worry about that. He's his own man, and he's going to do what he wants to do.
Well, Victor, let me throw a wrench into this. You know, back before Trump was running for president, he used to pal around with a lot of those Democrats, inviting Bill and Hillary Clinton to his wedding. I mean, the same argument could be made that Trump also cavorted with a bunch of not just establishment types, but raging leftists.
Well, that was when he wasn't running for president. But you noticed the minute he said he was running for president, the left literally turned on him.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Victor, we've got you down. You're a Trump guy. And we have somebody that's supporting DeSantis. This is a runaway here, folks. Let's go to Steve in Maine, WLOB. All right, Steve, I'm curious. Why are you supporting DeSantis?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Because Trump cannot win. And I've always wanted to ask you why you think Trump can win this time when he couldn't win last time. I have friends of mine, they will vote for Biden before they vote for Trump. They're just almost all of my friends.
You have friends, and they, if the choice was Trump or Biden, they would vote for Biden?
That's correct.
Steve, I think you need new friends.
I know, and we can't talk politics a lot because it gets heated up. I like Trump, but so could you answer me, Todd? What do you think?
Sure.
Steve, I think you...
let me answer your question. All right. I believe Trump did win in 2020. I believe the election was stolen, but I think there are a couple of other factors at play here. And first of all, and I've been pretty open and I've been pretty consistent on this messaging, at the end of the day, they couldn't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt in a court. They couldn't do it. So that being said, there are some things that we need to be doing as Republicans that we're not doing. And one of them is ballot harvesting. We're operating on an antique election process. The Democrats have one of the most effective get-out-the-vote campaigns. The technology they use and how they utilize it, especially to get out the young vote, it's phenomenal. The Republicans have nothing like that. And I love Turning Point USA, but they're not getting out the vote either. And they're focused on their big meetings and gatherings and conferences, which I think are fantastic. But unfortunately, and the Republicans have been really hesitant about calling out TPUSA, but the fact of the matter is they're not getting out the youth vote either. So we need to figure that out. But I will tell you this, if we're not ballot harvesting like the Democrats, we're going to have a very hard time winning elections moving forward. And some states are beginning to warm to this idea, but we've got to really change the way we do things if we're going to win in 2024. And a lot of that, most of that has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Todd.
All right. Well, Steve, you know what? We'll put an ad out or something. Steve from Maine needs new friends. Steve, you're a good man. All right. Hang in there. Oh, my goodness. Wow. What a day. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Greg in Salem, Oregon. Radio station KYKN, great conservative blowtorch out there. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to reiterate a point that's already kind of been suggested, but I think all the Republicans, they need to quit attacking each other because they need to remember who the common enemy is, and there's so many bad things that they've done. It's like take your pick on whatever subject you want to talk about, but they all need to be sticking to that point. And then as far as their actual campaigns for themselves, talk about what they've accomplished. And that's where Trump should really shine because he accomplished so much with everything going against him. And then they can also talk about what their plans are to remedy the problems. But because at the end of the day, all of the Republicans need to come together. And no matter who gets the nomination, it needs to be unified, and you need to support it for that goal. And so if Trump would do that, which he probably won't or can't, he'd gain a lot more respect from a lot of people that are against him. And so he's the only one that has the experience, the guts, and the backbone to take on what the problem is.
Greg, I appreciate that call, and thank you for listening to KYKN. You know, one of the big concerns I do have about DeSantis has nothing to do with DeSantis, but it's got something to do with Republican voters. Now, the Republican voters have this inferiority complex, and I know that they don't like to talk about it, but they do. And they're for decades now, generations, they have longed for their own version of JFK. I think Ronald Reagan came very close to that and actually was that for a specific generation of voters. And I was in junior high school when Ronald Reagan got elected. And it was Camelot-esque in the sense of the glitter and the glamour. They brought all of that back to the White House. But even for some of the diehard establishment types, they've been looking for and longing for that JFK experience. And when they see Ron and Casey DeSantis and the three young kids and the glamorous young couple, they say, this is our JFK moment. They don't know anything about his policies. They don't know anything about where he stands on the issues, because that doesn't matter. It's all about the image. It's all about the feeling. And they want a drop-dead Jackie O experience. And they feel like, and don't get me wrong, Mrs. DeSantis is beautiful. And it's a beautiful family they've got, no doubt about it. But we've got to look beyond that. And look, DeSantis may be the guy at the end of the day. We don't know, but he may be. So my question for Ron DeSantis is, what kind of a Republican are you? Because Ron DeSantis, in some estimations, is governing as a big government Republican in the state of Florida, stepping in and ordering businesses to do X, Y, and Z, and if they don't, big government will punish you. Well, I don't want big government punishing people. I want the consumers to do that. That's the business of the consumers. I don't want, and for example, Senator Ted Cruz calling for an investigation of Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light. Why? What business is it of the federal government who Bud Light hires as their spokesbabe? And why is it their business if Bud Light spokesbabe has balls? Why is that the government's business? Let the consumers take care of that. And I think we've demonstrated over the past couple of months now that we are fully capable of sending a message to Bud Light and doing it rather effectively. And by the way, we're doing it in Target as well. All right, we got to take a break here. Lines open, 844-747-8868. Who do you like? DeSantis, Trump, and what does DeSantis have to do to make up ground? 37 points down in the polls. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get right to the phones. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship radio station, KWAM, the mighty 990. Terry, what's on your mind today?
I'm here. I'd like to say that I am in favor of Donald Trump, but, and that man has guts, and I think he truly loves America. I do. I think he cares about the American people. I think he cares for what we stand for and for being fair and for being, fair to other countries and providing help where we can. I mean, that's what we've done, as far as I know, since the time we became a nation. You know, we always come to the aid of the little guy, if you will. But I will say I am concerned about whether he can actually win the election. Now, I believe he won the last election myself, and I think it was stolen. But I do wonder, because he's abrasive. I'll give you that. He's not pleasant. He's not real overly likable, I guess you'd say. But I do think that he was very good about running the country. And I will say that he did the entire world a favor when he first was got to be president and he went in and bombed all the terrorists. I can't think of a single terrorist attack since Donald Trump killed them all. Now, I realize they're probably being built back up again, but that's another issue. But I do worry about whether my vote, would be, I'm going to use the word wasted, if he can't pull off, winning the presidency.
That's the issue, Terry, is whether or not he will listen to that advice and whether or not anybody in the inner circle is giving him that advice. And I, again, for better or worse, unfortunately, a lot of grifters have latched on to Trump and they're more interested in expanding their brands than being honest with him and saying, Mr. President, we love you, but you need to knock it off. And there needs to be somebody in that inner circle bold enough to be able to say something like that.
I believe that's true. I do. I like him as president. I do. I think he did a good job. And I do believe that he cares about the American people.
No doubt about it. Terry, yeah. We've got to run. We're late for a break, but thank you for listening to KWAM. And we thank all of our great listeners across America. And thank you to Ford, the automaker. They are keeping AM radio and all of their brand new cars. And as the owner of an AM radio station, I really appreciate that. Thank you, Ford. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Hang tight if you're on hold. We're going to be getting to your calls. Don't you worry. Plus, a crazy story about religious liberty and graduation. You're going to want to stick around and hear this one. It's in my own backyard, too. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hi, it's me, Patty Gonia, a real-life homosexual. And today, I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride. This tour has everything: hiking, community, art, lesbians making art. Last year, we gay sashayed across the nation and celebrated Pride across the nation with hundreds of you across the nation.
This year, we're back again with two new stops:
Atlanta, GA. Why? Because you're there. In Salt Lake City, we're coming for you.
Patty, can we go?
Of course. This year, all these fabulous speakers will be coming from inside this TV to a nature near you. So come outside and celebrate the beautiful LGHGTV community.
All right, that's North Face, and they have launched a new gay pride commercial, the latest company to go full-blown woke. And it's a mess out there, folks. Some Target stores, especially in the southern states, have actually removed their transgender displays where they were actually selling tucket bathing suits for little babies, transgender onesies. This is just some of the wokeness that we are seeing. And I'm curious to know if your local Target store has moved the LGBT displays to the back of the stores. That has happened in some southern Target stores. So we'd like to hear from you on that. And of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers now embracing this anti-Catholic hate group, these fake transgender nuns. So we're going to get into that a little bit later with Bill Donahue from the Catholic League. He's going to drop by. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Oklahoma. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen joins us. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing good. I'm bouncing down the road. I'm actually had the privilege of being in Oklahoma this week. It's always a good day when I'm here and not in D.C.
Well, we have a lot of listeners across that great state and, of course, some fine listeners in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And I have to imagine the good people in your state, I'm curious to know, what are they saying about this wokeness that has infected our culture over the past 6 or 7 months now?
Well, as you know, we're the Bible Belt. That's what we consider ourselves, the Bible Belt. And we it's not that we're, I would say, judging these individuals and the way they want to live their lifestyle. You can. It just doesn't represent our values and what I would consider true Oklahoma values. Now, the way you want to choose to live your life, that's fine. But you don't got to force it upon us and say that we have to 100% accept your lifestyle. And if you got a company around here that's going to choose to advertise to those individuals, that's fine. If that's their market that they want to advertise to, that's fine. You're going to find that it's not going to be well received with the majority of the population, though, in Oklahoma.
It's unfortunate. And again, I appreciate lawmakers speaking out and sharing opinion, but ultimately, I think these are issues that consumers ultimately should have the final say over. And that's certainly been the case with Bud Light, and I suspect it's going to be the same way with Target and the L.A. Dodgers.
Well, I call it Target. I avoid Target and Walmart the same. They're just too big of places for me to even want to go shopping. But, you know, my family, obviously they shop in Target and in Walmart both. I can't speak for my wife, but I can tell you right now, if she sees that, it'll completely turn her off and she'll just choose not to shop there. And that's their opinion. They can. It's kind of like Bud Light. I don't drink, but people that did, a lot of people in Oklahoma, you can go into any store right now and the displays of Bud Light is setting. They're not moving. other beverages are moving, but not Bud Light. Once again, it just doesn't play well into in Oklahoma. And that, as a retailer, you would think you would know your audience. Who is it that you're trying to pander to, and why is it that you're trying to sell that product to who? And if you're a business owner, you can choose to advertise wherever you want to. But as a retailer or as a consumer, we can also choose not to shop there. And I will tell you that it wouldn't. I already don't shop there, but my wife, I will tell you right now, there's no way she would either.
Senator, we've been following the debt ceiling debate going on in Washington. I'm very impressed with Speaker McCarthy. I think he's really done
a masterful
job of negotiations.
Absolutely.
Here.
He is doing a really good job, and he's including his he's including his conference and being able to make decisions. At the end of the day, he's going to have a very difficult decision to move forward, though, because he still has to work with Chuck Schumer in the Senate. And they're not going to pass the bill that the House passed. Unfortunately, they're not. The House version of the raising the debt ceiling and cutting spending at the same time, I'll tell you, the Republicans in the Senate, we adopted that. That's our bill, too. We want that to happen. But we don't have control of the Senate, so he's got to negotiate, and those negotiations can really leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, because we said what we want, and we put our cards on the table. We gave them the bill. The Democrats haven't done that, and they're playing chicken with it. They're trying to assert blame, and I think they're doing it for political reasons, because the last time that we were really in this big of a fight was in 2013 when we shut down. And Obama came out, honestly, at that time, came out on top. His approval ratings improved greatly. Biden is banking on that because, obviously, he's running for president. He wants to put all the blame on Republicans that we're being radical and irresponsible. But the fact is, we have showed the American people what we want, and they haven't. And there's something that Biden doesn't have that Obama did. Biden cannot communicate. At least Obama could communicate, as much as I disagreed with what he was doing. He could still communicate. But they think that this is a win for them. They think that they go in and they try to play scare tactics, like saying the Republicans are trying to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits, which is not true. There's nothing in the bill that actually says that. And Kevin has done a really good job selling that. At the end of the day, when the Democrats finally do come to the table and put something down, that's when it's going to get very difficult for Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, and the Republicans in the House, and even the Republicans in the Senate, on what does a final bill look like. What we have said from the get-go, we have two absolutely heck no's. We're not going to budge in it. One, we said we're not going to raise taxes, and two, we will not do a clean debt limit increase. Those are the two hard no's. And the rest of it is up to the Democrats and President Biden on what they're willing to negotiate on.
Senator, real quick, we have been following developments at the border, and it seemed to be going pretty good once you had bodies on the border, talking about the Texas National Guard. I believe Mississippi National Guard was summoned as well. Has that been enough to stop the flow of illegals?
Absolutely not. We're still seeing record numbers, and a lot of the reports that you're getting that saying that the numbers are down, they're down based on the trajectory of the increase, not down overall. The numbers are still extremely high, especially when you start comparing the numbers that we had when President Trump was in office. What we don't have now is the ability to catch these individuals that are on the terrorist watch list. I don't think a lot of people actually understood what Title 42 did, and so I'll break it down to your audience as fast as I can. Title 42 allowed us just to hold individual males traveling by themselves, not families, not anything else, but it just Title 42 specifically targeted individuals, males traveling by themselves, that we were able, instead of doing a catch and release, which is what they're doing with everybody else, they catch them, give them a court date, and release them in 24 hours. Individual males traveling by themselves, we could do biometrics on them, because obviously they're not going to give us the real name. And so once we do my biometrics on them, we identify them, which is why we've got 82 terrorists and over 160 terrorists on the individuals on the terrorist watch list. And it was specifically the Title 42. So we've seen an increase in males. We still see a record number of individuals crossing the border. But now we have the Biden administration has made us extremely vulnerable to terrorist attacks because we have no way to apprehend these individual males now traveling by themselves.
All right. Well, we're keeping a very close watch on that. And again, there's really not much Republicans can do until they retake the House, or rather Absolutely. Retake the Senate and the White House.
Right.
All right.
That's right. And we're working as hard as we can, but unfortunately this falls in the purview of the executive branch, which is what the president can do. And the only way we can override him is with the legislation that he has to sign into law, and which obviously isn't going to happen.
All right, Senator, we're going to let you get back to it. Safe travels around the great state of Oklahoma.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, ladies and gentlemen, doing a great job there. And he's been a longtime guest on this program. We appreciate him. You know, I want to go back to this crazy story out of Los Angeles, where the Dodgers have become the latest. And here's the headline in Breitbart: the Dodgers have become the Bud Light of baseball. And it's true. We have some video up on our website, and I can't even adequately describe it to you how heinous it is. But the video is of these fake nuns portraying Christ on a cross while a male go-go dancer, gigolo or whatever you call him, is literally dancing provocatively on the cross. Very sexualized and disgusting. It's filth. Filth. And you have to imagine, really, the Los Angeles Dodgers, are they endorsing this? Is that what's going to happen at the baseball game? They're going to haul out a cross, stick Jesus up on the cross, and start gyrating in his face? Is really, that's what the Los Angeles Dodgers want to be associated with? And this is, it's pornographic. It's unbelievable. We're going to be talking to Bill Donahue of the Catholic League a little bit later. But I've always wondered something about the L.A. Dodgers and their ilk. Because the L.A. Dodgers disinvited this group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and then they got reinvited after the Human Rights Campaign and all these other perverts got involved. But here's my question. Will the Los Angeles Dodgers support and endorse a Pride Night event featuring Muslim imams who are out of the closet? In other words, gay Muslims who are dancing and doing sexually provocative things to the Prophet Muhammad at second base. Will the LA Dodgers allow that to happen? And I think we all know the answer to that question. Hell no. Nobody wants to get blown up. But you see, this is the hypocrisy of it all. Because nobody will touch the Muslims, but it's open season on the Christians and the Jews. Now, on this Target situation, folks, you need to understand that we need to Bud Light Target. That's what needs to happen. And I think, and there are so many people out there, and I know you shop at Target, but if you stopped just for, let's just say a full month you stop shopping at Target, I think you're going to get their attention. And the fact that a number of stores in the southern states have actually moved their LGBT displays. And when you walk in, it's like you're walking into Pride Week in your Target store. You're going to get some Irish Spring soap and maybe a roll of toilet paper. And the next thing you know, somebody's trying to sell you a transgender onesie for a toddler. It's really despicable. So I'm curious to hear from anybody out there who is actually boycotting Target. You said, you know what? Enough is enough. We're tired of this nonsense. Now, North Face is jumping on board. They don't want to use real women anymore. They never use lesbians. But they go out there and they hire all these men to dress up and mock women. And they think that's going to move their product. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Bud Light, and this controversy could actually tank the entire company. That's how incredibly successful this campaign is. Now, the question, what are we going to do about Target? We'll be right back. things that I've tried to do, and I did a lot of this back in New York City, and it worked out pretty great. I try to shop at locally owned businesses, and chances are you may pay a little bit more, but it's okay. I mean, it really is. In the long run, you're supporting your neighbors, you're supporting your local communities, and you are not supporting one of these radical agendas. You know, we have our good buddy on from Art Alley on every month or so to talk about Timothy Plan. And I think this is one of the most important mechanisms for conservatives, for people of faith. Timothy Plan literally roots out all of these companies, and they expose these companies like Bud Light and Target and North Face. And they'll say, hey, look, if you are investing your money in these companies, then you are actually supporting this kind of behavior. And if you really want to send a message, the issue isn't that you're going to stop shopping at Target. The issue is that in the long run, they're going to destroy their company. So you have to make that personal decision, and it is hard. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be, if you boycott Target, it doesn't mean that you're probably going to end up going to Target once or twice. But you can go out of your way to shop locally and shop your values. Find those American-owned companies. Find the companies that are patriots in your neighborhood and do business with those folks. That's how we're really building a, for lack of a better term, a patriot economy where people of like minds are shopping and doing business together. And that will send a message to these woke leftists. And I will say this, 450,000 people work at Target. I hope the company goes out of business. I really do. They can either change their ways or they can go out of business. But any company that would put a little girl in danger in a dressing room or a bathroom for the sake of an ideology, got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones. We've been asking folks all day, who do you support, Trump or DeSantis? Let's go to Barbara in North Carolina. Barbara, who do you pick?
Talk radio.
Hello, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you, Todd?
All right, Barbara.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm a Trump girl, but I think that we're getting ready for a major, I mean, we've already had a battle before, but when you think of all the corruption that has been exposed with the DOJ and the CIA and the FBI, and you know what they've already done to Trump and everybody that tried to help him run for office with Michael Flynn and Peter Navarro and Paul Manafort, I think that we really am going to have all hands on deck because they already, I believe the election was stolen. I don't know how Joe Biden could have gotten that many votes.
Barbara, I'm with you 1,000%. It is all hands on deck, and that's why we need you and so many millions of other people listening to this radio program. I think together we're going to be able to take back America. Hang tight. We're going right back to your phone calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight as we finally get that big heavyweight battle we've been looking for, that big fight. DeSantis throwing his hat into the ring, and we'll see how all that plays out. Let's go to the phones, though, 844-747-8868. James in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. James, who do you like in 2024?
Trump all the way. Let me tell you something. Trump's been in the battle already for 4 years. He battled. Now it's time to win the war. Put him back in there, and he'll win the war for us. And the voters in this country, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, if they don't realize that, they're either not paying attention or they're stupid.
James, when you look at Ron DeSantis, if Trump was not running, DeSantis would be the clear front runner here. What do you think about Ron DeSantis?
I like Ron DeSantis. I don't have anything against him. I tell you this, I think him or Tim Scott would make a great second a vice president, and they would learn how to win the war with Trump, and then they can carry it on for 4 more years, or 8, hopefully. And then we can finally kill this thing, because it's taken a long time to get this country the way it is with these deep state, or whatever you want to call it, or the swamp. And it's going to take a long time to get out of it. It's not going to be done overnight. And you got to fight. You got to fight.
And I think that is the thing we're looking for, James. That's what I'm looking for, is a fighter. And this is why we have primaries. And this is why we have debates. And this is why every single candidate running, from Trump on down, needs to be able to debate. And let's get it all out there, and may the best man win, or a woman.
That's true. Let the best man win, or woman. That's fine. I don't have a problem with a woman.
But Trump is your guy.
Trump is my guy, and I'm going to stick with him until the end.
All right, James, appreciate that call. Let's go to William in Statesville, North Carolina. All right, William, who you got?
Donald Trump. Every time, Todd, you have an election, sometimes a sheriff gets voted into office, and that sheriff is Donald Trump. He needs to bring some deputies with him, maybe his son, and, you know, somebody like that, or even DeSantis. But that's what it's going to take, is a mean, hard sheriff to clean house up there. That's what needs to happen, plain and simple.
You know, William, and I appreciate that call and that sentiment, and you're right. And I think people realized at the end of the day that Donald Trump was what they wanted. We wanted somebody that was going to go in there and clean out the deep state, go after the swamp creatures, wanted somebody that was not afraid to take on the media. And not only did he take on the media, he just pounded them every single day. And Donald Trump was willing to stand there and take as many questions as humanly possible. And he won. And he won over and over and over again. And folks, I still go back, and I was sharing this with our good listeners in Tipton County, Tennessee last night. When you go back and when you look at what happened in 2016, when you go back and read the Durham report and understand the lies that were perpetrated against this man, everything after that is fruit from the poison tree. So you take that away, and you have one of the most successful presidencies in modern American history. As a matter of fact, he still had one of the most successful presidencies in modern American history. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Carla, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Carla. Who do you like in 2024?
Hey, Todd. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
Okay, great. I am definitely Trump all the way. No other possible candidate could even come close.
What about DeSantis, though, Carly? You know, a lot of suburban moms are liking DeSantis.
Oh, come on. Look, Trump showed us that he's the fighter that we need. He stood up to all these people that were up against him every day. He still got all kinds of things done, although I think he should have went after Hillary. But anyway, DeSantis, he's establishment Republican. He's up in there with the RNC and what's her name. And, I mean, we might as well put a Democrat in there if we want to go for DeSantis. He's all hot dogs with all them guys. And also... Everybody seems to forget this. Trump has nobody telling him what. I mean, the ones that are donating are we the people. DeSantis has got to have these high roller donors. He's got the kind of money on his own to fight it. He's going to have donors that he will be obliged to. Trump doesn't. I mean, come on. And, you know, with all the corruption and everything, I mean, the Durham report was, you know, pretty much what we already knew. We just didn't know as how deep or how far-reaching. But that's a little bit too late now.
All right. Carla.
I don't think it's going to affect anything.
All right. Well, Carla, we appreciate your call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our number. Trump versus DeSantis. or anybody else. Maybe somebody's not running that you want to see running. So I have to tell you about this story that's happening in my conservative town, Germantown, Tennessee. It's a suburb of Memphis. And I'm telling you, I think the town is conservative, but I'm not so sure. We got a lot of people moving in from outside the area, and I think they're bringing their politics with them. And a lot of them are in the school system. And we have a local Moms for Liberty chapter. Those ladies are fierce, like Amazon warrior princesses. I mean, they're just like, they're on this stuff, and they're exposing all of these crazy books and ideology. And we've got an infestation, no doubt about it. So anyway, middle school graduation, I got a text message from somebody that said, you're not going to believe what happened. So we have a lot of churches around Memphis, a lot. And one of them is a mega church. We have a lot of mega churches here. And one of them is a beautiful church, Harvest Church. You might have heard about them. They were in the news a couple of months back. The pastor, several other church staff were in a horrible plane crash in Texas, and the pastor was the lone survivor and had massive injuries, just got back into the pulpit, and some of the sweetest people, just an incredibly sweet and precious church. So anyway, it's hard to find auditoriums that are big enough to accommodate the graduation crowds, right? We've all been there. And so one of the things they wanted to do was reach out to the church. So the school district, Germantown Schools, reached out to the church and said, hey, can we use your sanctuary for our middle school graduation so everybody can come? And they said, yeah, sure, no problem. Happy to do that. But you just need to be aware that we always start every event in our facility with a word of prayer. That's a pretty standard thing, right? So we've been told, and again, we, the news team at KWAM News Radio Memphis, was told that it was actually a gay staff member who complained initially. Now, the school district got a statement out, and they said, no, 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 that's not true. It was a parent. Well, we heard both. We heard both a gay teacher or a staff member, and then a parent got involved, and they said, if you're going to have this at the church with a prayer, we're going to get attorneys involved. And so the school district went back to the church and said, look, here's the deal. Could you do a moment of silence instead of a prayer at your church? And the guy was like, the church was, well, are you kidding us? What? Are you people nuts? No, that's not the church, but that's me. And then they said, no, we're not going to do that. They said, okay, well, what about a welcome? In other words, instead of saying, you know, we ask you to join us in a word of prayer in this church sanctuary, they wanted the pastor to get up there and say, hey, howdy, everybody. How y'all doing? And the church was like, no, we're not going to do that. So the school backs out. And they say they were actually telling the church, yeah, you can't pray in your own building. And the church stood their ground. So they ended up having graduation in the middle school gymnasium. And it was terrible. It was hot, stuffy. They didn't have enough room for everybody, so poor grandma had to sit on the curb outside, and it's hot in Memphis, Tennessee. And people were really, really frustrated over this. But I say good for the church for standing their ground. They did the right thing, in my estimation. By the way, I was told that there was a horrible incident at the graduation. Somebody got ill, somebody collapsed, something happened. And so somebody got up and said, okay, we need to just take a moment here. And then they stopped and paused and they said, you know what? We're just going to say a prayer. There you go. That's what it's really all about. But I got to tell you, really, a public school telling a church they can't pray in their own building? Come on. Come on. Not even the godless heathens in New York City would do something like that. I mean, geez, hello, right here in the middle of the Bible Belt. Let's go to Joshua, who I've been told is driving down Interstate 40 in Memphis and listening to KWAM, our flagship station. Hey, Joshua, what's going on?
How's it going, Todd? I'm actually a first-time listener.
Well, welcome aboard. We hope you're not a last-time listener.
Well, hopefully you can get your station, piped into West Virginia, where I'm from, actually.
Well, we'll try to do something about that, but in the meantime, you can always download the app, and you can listen to us on, you know, online, toddstearns.com, absolutely. So who do you like out there, by the way, in the presidential race?
I mean, I am kind of actually really split, and I say I'm split because, simply put, no, when it comes to my home state, which is a dying state, which is struggling in every facet of economics, any Republican, really, and I'm not even a conservative. I'm actually more of an independent. But with the fossil fuels and with the price of everything, West Virginia, my state, has one of the lowest average incomes in the nation for a household. And they're killing everything. The steel industry, we used to have an incredible steel industry. And then Clinton decided to sign the original North Pacific trade agreement and sent half of our steel jobs over to Mexico, China, pretty much anywhere else but the states that they were developed for. I'm just tired of Democrats in general. Their liberal policies is killing everything that makes my state great. And
Joshua
promised to try to do it.
Years ago, when I was back at Fox News Channel, Hannity sent me. I was a correspondent for Hannity's show, and they sent me to West Virginia, and to see, this was when Obama was trying to shut down all the coal mines, and it's just devastating. What the Democrat policies have devastated your state. But beyond that, shipping all of the businesses out of America has also been devastating, and that's one of the reasons I appreciated Trump bringing those and enticing American companies to come back. But I'm curious here, because we're coming up on a break. Who do you like in the 2024 race for the White House?
In the 2024 race, honestly, Trump showed he was a fighter, but with the most recent bills that DeSantis signed in Florida, which I believe is making great steps toward bringing the state of Florida back to its respectable roots, I would probably go with DeSantis just because he's younger and he'll be able to possibly pull more resources in the fact of backing and larger companies that are based out of Miami or Jacksonville, Tallahassee or Tampa, and really start making changes, not just across the South, but on the East Coast, but even over to the West Coast.
It's fair enough. And, you know, I've thrown in for Trump, but look, whoever the nominee is, they're getting my vote. And I think DeSantis is going to make a great president one of these days. Absolutely believe it. All right, Joshua, we got to let you go. Thank you for calling in, and don't be a stranger. By the way, folks, you can, again, download our app. You can also go to our website, toddstearns.com. And there are lots of ways to get the podcast, or you can just listen live, or you can watch live on all of our social media platforms as well. Lots of different ways. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I tell you about our great friends over at Newsmax? They're doing some incredible work with, I mean, really incredible. The ratings are coming out, and over and over and over again, Newsmax is now beating CNN in the ratings. After Tucker got fired from Fox, the Eric Bolling Show, up over 200% in the ratings. And every night, Newsmax's powerful lineup, they can't be beat. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news that you can trust. That's why you've got to watch Eric Bolling tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Find out for yourself why Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. You can get Newsmax on all major cable systems. And if your cable system doesn't have Newsmax, just download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and you can start watching anytime, anywhere, because Newsmax is real news for real people. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get right to it. Jerry, Wichita, Kansas. Now, Jerry's watching us on Rumble, but Jerry, you can also listen to this show on delay on KQAM, the big talker there in Wichita.
Yes, and I do catch that once in a while.
Love it.
I'm I'm at work, so I can listen to it easier on Rumble.
Fantastic. Well, Jerry, what's on your mind here?
Well, I'm pulling for Trump. I've always been a Trump supporter. I was kind of liking DeSantis in the beginning, but then when he started his book tour, and it seemed that his book tour was more important than some of the crises that were happening in Florida, I kind of wavered on that. And then lately with him and the supermajority changing the rules so that he can still run for president and still retain his governorship, even if he loses, it just didn't sit well.
It's as if he's trying to do things to prove that he is like Donald Trump, but every time he does it, he steps in a pothole.
I agree. I just don't think he's ready.
I'm not ready to throw in the towel on DeSantis as a candidate down the road. I think he's got a lot of growing up to do. I think he needs to figure out who he is, and he needs to be comfortable in his own skin and say what you want to about Trump, but what you see is what you get, whether you like it or not. Tough cookies.
Exactly. I agree.
And Jerry, we got about 15 seconds here. Kansas is a weird state. I mean, you guys vote Republican one cycle, Democrat the next. How do you think things are going? What's the vibe in Wichita now?
We moved here last year, and I'm telling you, crime is crazy here. We've got a Democrat running the city, and we got a Democrat running the state, and she's fighting with the Congress, and it's just a mess.
And well, Jerry, let me jump in. That's 15 seconds, so the computer's going to cut us off. There's a great council guy you need to be voting for, Dalton Glasscock. He's a rock-solid, tough-on-crime Republican. Hang tight, folks. Hour 3 coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We've got a doozy of a heavyweight match underway. Ron DeSantis going to make it official later today on Twitter. Got to love how President Trump, though, does it. He holds the big rallies. He gets out there, and he's a man of the people, hanging out at the McDonald's. He doesn't even look at the menu to figure out what to order at McDonald's. He's just one of us. So we're going to see how all that plays out. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of mudslinging. I just want to prepare you. This is not going to be like tea and crumpets, all right? This is going to be like a good old-fashioned throwdown, as we call them in the Deep South. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're going to get to your call, so hang tight if you're on hold. Don't go anywhere. But I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Monica Crowley joins us. By the way, she is the host of the Monica Crowley podcast, the coolest podcast in all of podcastendom. She also has a Newsmax column coming out later today at 6 o'clock, and you're going to want to read that, Newsmax.com. Monica, hope you're doing well.
Hey, Todd, thank you for having me. I just want to correct, my column is at Newsweek today, not Newsmax. So my column will be at Newsweek.com right at 6 o'clock when Governor DeSantis makes this big announcement. It will be at Newsweek.com, so please go check it out, and then I'll post it all over my social media.
All right. Well, my apologies there. So Newsweek.com, be sure to check out Monica's big column coming out after the DeSantis announcement. What do you think about the platform DeSantis is choosing?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I think we're definitely in a new world where tech is completely dominant. So I think it was a very interesting choice for the governor to make. It was something that was unexpected, right? I also think it could actually not be, in the end, the wisest choice, because
while Elon Musk and Twitter has a huge reach, it's not the same as if you were to conduct a live event, a rally of sorts with a big crowd and you're outside. And I mean, he's in Florida. The weather's always good there. He could have done a brilliant outside event that then would have been picked up everywhere and you would have images to go with it, right? Whereas on Twitter, and I understand sort of the thinking that he wanted to do something different, but on Twitter, it's audio only. There are no images, or won't be, to go along with this. And it has, it smacks a little bit of elitism. It smacks a little bit of a narrowness in the focus. My mom, for example, she loves President Trump. She lives part of the year in Florida and loves Governor DeSantis, but she's not on Twitter. So how is this announcement going to reach my mother? Now, yes, eventually people will pick it up and put it on television. But again, it's audio only. So it will be his voice making his announcement along with Elon Musk and maybe somebody else asking him questions. But that's it. Now, I understand wanting to engage in this whole tech environment and wanting to reach other kinds of people. But I think when you're announcing for president, the traditional way is the traditional way for a reason. So we'll see. I mean, I give him kudos for trying something new and different, but we'll see if it works.
Yeah, there are a lot of people suggesting, oh, this is a thumb up your nose at Donald Trump for Truth Social. I don't know. I think they're trying to be cutting edge, but I'm with you. Not everybody is on Twitter, and I think a shocking number of people are not on Twitter, mainly because they don't have the platform, and especially if you're a senior adult, nobody wants to be there, and for the rest of us, it's just a toxic cesspool.
Well, yeah, I think that's right, and, it could be kind of a snub to President Trump and Truth Social. Look, Elon Musk has enormous reach, so he's got, I don't even know how many Twitter followers, hundreds of millions. So I think Governor DeSantis calculated it would be very cool to do something different on this platform with Musk. Musk is trying to build out the platform with more video and all kinds of interesting things, voice tweets and all kinds of cool stuff. So I think DeSantis wants to reinforce the idea that he's only 44 years old and he's a younger generation of leader. And maybe by going on Twitter, he's trying to reinforce that point that President Trump is older, Joe Biden is older, all of these other potential candidates are older, and he's kind of the young, spry guy in the field.
I'm concerned, though, Monica, and again, I will be voting for whoever has the R behind their name. I don't care who it is. But one concern I have is that DeSantis may not be ready for the big leagues, and that Republican voters may be obsessed with this idea of we've got to have our version of JFK with the young couple, the beautiful wife, the photogenic kids, and they feel like DeSantis is the guy.
Well, I think that only goes so far, though, because we are not in 1960. We are not in 1980. We're not in 1990. We're not even in like 2005. This is a completely different world we are in. And this country is at a tipping point. We have experienced this Marxist assault for decades now, and we are really at the point of collapse. So while image is still important, and this is, President Trump is very tall, he's broad, he looks presidential, that's all going to redound to his benefit. But I think in terms of like overall calculation, I think, the sort of the new Republican Camelot, it may have some draw to some extent, but I think the vast majority of voters understand that this country is in a very difficult position right now. We need strong leadership. And again, I don't care what the candidate looks like, as long as they're willing to fight the battles that need to be fought to bring the country back. And to my mind, that's President Trump. I consider him a friend. I was very blessed to serve in his administration for 2 years at the Treasury Department, and I look forward to supporting him as I have since June of 2015.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Monica Crowley, who is going to have a great column up at Newsweek coming up later this afternoon, 6 o'clock. So be sure to check that out. She is also host of the Monica Crowley podcast. You know, Monica, we've been polling our listeners today, and it has been overwhelming, just overwhelming Trump supporters. And we've just put it out there. We don't care who you support. Just call in and tell us why. Maybe two or three DeSantis supporters in the mix. But I'm telling you, I think the polls are spot on accurate right now. And of course, Real Clear Politics with that, you know, they did the aggregation, Trump leading by 37 points over everybody.
Yeah, you know, one of the points that I'm making in this Newsweek piece coming later today, Todd, is that Donald Trump has an advantage over every other candidate, Republican and Democrat. And that is that he did the impossible starting in June of 2015, which is develop an organic, true emotional bond with the American people. Now, people either love him or hate him. So I'm talking about the people who love him here. But and maybe the people who hate him, too, because that's an organic emotional bond. But I'm talking about his voters. This appeal between Trump and his voters is not really political. It's not really ideological. It is emotional, because Donald Trump came forward 8 years ago and said to the forgotten men and women around the country, I see you, I hear you, and I will be your champion. And then for 4 years as president, he actually delivered on policies that improved the lives of the forgotten men and women. He has not forgotten them, and they will not forget him. And all the slings and arrows that he has taken, all of this incoming, and there are more indictments to come as well, that stuff actually strengthens him. It makes him stronger with the public, because people look at him and say, oh my gosh, this guy took so much incoming for me that now it's my turn to take some incoming for him and stand strong for him and deliver for him. That kind of bond is unbreakable and very difficult, if not impossible, for any Republican challenger to overcome.
Mm. All right. Real quick, Monica, before we let you go, I am curious about what Trump needs to do to win. How do we actually win in 2024, hands down?
Yeah, look, I think President Trump needs to focus on the future. When he talks about the past, I don't think anybody wants to hear grievances from him. We all know that he got screwed over in 2020. We understand that. We get it. He doesn't need to keep reinforcing that point. I think all elections are forward-looking and forward-oriented, and that's how his campaign needs to be. So to the extent he looks back, he should only be looking back, pointing the American people to his tremendous record as president, booming economy, secure border, and world peace. And he can break it down however he'd like, but he's got to point to that and say, I did it once before, I will do it again. And I will not forget you. I will bring our economy back. I'll secure our border, and I will deliver world peace once again. If he just focuses on that looking forward, I think, you know, he's a shoo-in. The only caveat that I would add to that, Todd, is the question of whether or not the deep state will allow him to be reelected. We know what he did, what they did to him in 2020. They're getting ready to rig this election all over again. They stole it legally from him last time, but, you know, they tried to rig the 2016 election and almost got away with that. So what do they have prepared for next year? We don't know, but we know that we got to go with the ultimate fighter who gets it, who has stared all of these people down, and that's Donald Trump.
All right, Monica, got to leave it there. Great hearing from you, and congrats on the success in the podcast. And folks, got to check out that Newsweek column coming out later this afternoon, 6 o'clock. Monica, thank you.
Thank you, as always, Todd.
All right, Monica Crowley, everybody. And there you go. And I think if Trump follows that formula, then he is going to be very successful in the election. All right, we're going right to the phones. Hang tight. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, thanks for that North Face commercial. I just puked up my lunch. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you, Mark from the Villages. Always good to hear from you. Wow. Folks, it's just insane. We're going to be talking to Bill Donahue from the Catholic League. He is not a Dodgers fan. I'm just going to leave it at that. He is really fired up over this wokeness out there. But I'm telling you, they are shoving that agenda down your kid's throat. And in the case of Major League Baseball, they're knocking him upside the head with a bat. All right, let's get to the phones here. Let's go to Dexter in Danielsville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Dexter, what's on your mind?
Oh, not much, man. I hope you're having a blessed day.
I am.
Great, great. Just with DeSantis and Trump, I wish DeSantis, if he is for the American people, when this is over and done with and Trump wins the primaries and all of the others, would jump on his back and support him and let's lead this thing through. I mean, that's what America's great for. It's supporting each other, but we're not getting it with them. And I just hope DeSantis is not in it for the fame and fortune, but it just seems like he is. And I would rather see him back Trump, get him in there, let Trump finish what he started, and then the next 8 years, he could get in there.
Dexter, maybe it's an opportunity for some people are running to be vice president. And I would say Haley and Scott. I am just not that impressed with Nikki Haley. Her performance out on the campaign trail, it's just snoozeville. That and her policies are all over the place. So the question goes, okay, well, who would look good as a VP? And again, if Ron DeSantis, and I guess he's thought all this through, it seems to me the best course of action for him would have been to stay in the governor's mansion and let Trump run. He wraps up his term as governor, and then he runs in 2028. But, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do, and he feels like this is the best course of action. So now the question is, okay, if he is not successful, is Trump going to pick him as the VP? And I don't think so.
Is he going to support Trump 100% and do what the American people want him to do? You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing we need is people backing Trump, whether they like him or not. I'm not really wild about his ethics, but, I mean, he does a great job. I he kind of talks a little bit more than he should sometimes, but I guess we're all guilty of that. But if he would just stick to the facts, and the facts are just easy right in front of him because Biden has ruined us, and we're headed for a road that we'll never get out of if he gets back in there.
Kind of makes you miss Jimmy Carter, doesn't it?
Yeah, I tell you, old Jimmy, he's hanging in there. God bless his soul. But, that was, used to, the Republicans were kind of out there, and the Democrats were, upwinging. But now the Republicans are acting like the Democrats were when I was coming up, and the Democrats are just, I don't know. And these people that are voting for them, that one that said that his friends would vote for the other way if Trump got in, like you say, there were friends, but I believe if the Satan himself runs, they would vote for him. I mean, that's how far gone they are.
Dexter, it's enough to make a Baptist drink in public. I'm just telling you.
I'd love to see any of the candidates on any side. I don't care what. It's to mention our Lord and Savior.
There you go. All right, Dexter, good thoughts, good call. You give us a holler back. Let's go to Ann in Maine. Hi, Ann. What's on your mind today? Hello, Ann. All right. Let's see where Ann is. Let's go to Meg in Georgia, Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, Meg. What's going on?
Well, I'm a Trump supporter all the way, and I think he's the one that can do the job. Not for DeSantis because of the money that's backing him. It's the rhino money that's backing DeSantis, and politicians are notoriously beholden to the money that backs them. And the rhinos are just nothing. They're swamp people with an R in front of their name. They're I think many of the rhinos would be happier with the Biden winning than the would of Trump.
That's Trump, it.
Trump does what he says, and he means what he says. He's straight up. You don't have to wonder where the man's coming from. He tells you right up front, and I appreciate that.
All right, Meg. Well, we appreciate you, and thank you for calling in. I love how Monica put it, and I think she's one of those people. Look, if we have the president back on the show between now and whenever, which we will, we'll have that conversation. But it's a conversation you also do in private, right? If you want to, and if he, I think he's a guy who would appreciate somebody just telling it like it is. And I like what Monica said. Hang tight, everybody. We got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Show. Someone just sent me some video. This was Fox News Channel was playing some video from Memphis, our local ABC affiliate. We don't have much information other than the reporter was doing an interview with a woman about crime in Memphis, which is just insane. Just insane. And here's what happened during the interview.
A television news crew was interviewing a woman about anti-crime near Memphis. Anti-crime now, when this happened.
Your name for me?
My name is Yolanda, Y-O-L-A-N-D-A.
Get down, just get down, get down. Just stay down and get down. That's okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stay down and get down. It's No, they're coming back.
Okay.
You okay, Jay? Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cover us. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. We should be all right. Drive by. Yep. You saw it, the black car?
Wow. It's almost as if she's too used to it.
Yeah, we are, Bill. We're really used to it. This is life in Memphis, Tennessee. This is what happens when you have progressive Democrats who control your city, and they really don't give a damn about the people who live here. They care more about coddling the criminals, Bill. Maybe, just maybe, Fox News, the next time they send a crew down, you know, they'll get their butts off of Beale Street and actually get into the communities where people actually live. This is our way of life here, Bill, at Fox News. Anyway. Sweet mercy. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the Catholic League, Bill Donahue, joins us. Bill, it's a mess. Crime is just out the wazoo, and I know we're going to talk about the Dodgers in just a moment. But again, this just goes to show you what happens when you put godless heathens in charge of your city governments.
Well, I know that. I'm right in New York City as we speak, and this city's a mess, and I love the city. Giuliani turned it around from Dinkins. Dinkins was a dope, but he wasn't a mean man. And then Giuliani turned it around. Bloomberg made some mistakes, but he basically was good on the cops and education. And then comes in de Blasio. He destroyed, literally destroyed New York City. In my area, in the Penn Station area, is still, most of the stores and the storefronts are still closed. Nobody will open up. All the eateries, they're gone in this whole area because of him. Unlike Dinkins, who was a dope, this guy knew what he was doing. He was much worse than Dinkins. De Blasio was basically an evil man.
Oh, incredibly evil. And now you have Eric Adams, and you don't know who this guy is when he wakes up every morning.
One day he's good, the other day he's bad. He's better than what the competition was against him, though. Believe me, I live here.
Oh, my word. It's just terrible. Bill, let's jump into this Dodgers story. We thought the Dodgers had done the right thing. Then the Human Rights Campaign, which is it's honestly a hate group. I mean, they hate Christians, they hate you, and they hate me too personally.
That's true.
But people are terrified of the Human Rights Campaign, and the Dodgers capitulated.
Well, goes to the effect of George Soros one more time. Yeah, it's amazing because when they first invited them, when I found that out, I went nuts, and we have an enormous following of email subscribers, and once I put out the email of the offender, in this case, Rob Manfred, I went above the Dodgers, to the guy right down the block from me here in New York City, Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and he got pounded. How do I know? Because a lot of the people shared with us in our office what they sent. They got flooded, and that's what scared them, and they decided to disinvite them. Now, I said to my staff on Monday morning, I said, look, I've been doing this thing for 30 years come July the 1st here as president of the Catholic League. I've been around the block. If you give people time, I've won when people give me too much time, and now as we could lose on this thing yet because they have a lot of time until June 16th on a Friday night when they have the Pride Night and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence get this award. And I said, because they live in gay-friendly L.A., who knows what will happen? So what I'm going to do, I said Monday morning, I am going to go through our big file on the Sisters and pull out some of the more egregious examples going back to 1979 when they started with three men walking down a street in San Francisco. One of them carried a machine gun, not making it up, and I put together this report. It's up on our website. We are sending it out to everybody in Los Angeles. And once people read exactly what they've done, they're not some fun little group, okay? This is not burlesque. This is a hate group. And we got them to disinvite them. But I knew that they would be striking again, so I put together the report. We put that out now, and I asked Stan Kasten of the Dodgers and Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball, do you want to look me in the eye or Todd Stearns or anybody and tell us that after you read my report, all the detailed information from 1979, page after page, you're telling me that they're not a hate group? That this is acceptable to give them an award? This is the official stamp of anti-Catholicism coming from Major League Baseball.
It's horrifying. And Bill, we posted video on our website of one of the acts that they were engaged in. We can't even effectively, nor do I want to describe what they're doing, right. But it's heinous. And I'm with you. I want to hear Major League Baseball explain why they are honoring that.
Well, you know what's amazing, too? The names are not going to mean anything to the audience. I understand that. Hunter Madsen and the other fellow, I forget his name, they wrote a book. It was two gay guys, psychologists, After the Ball. I read it many years ago. It's an attack on people like us, and it's pro-gay, except for one, Madsen and Hunter. Yeah, except for one chapter. In that chapter, they take off the gloves and say, listen, we have to have an honest discussion. There is something wrong with gay people. We're against morality. We're narcissists, inveterate narcissists, and went on like this. Now, the reason I mention them, Todd, is that in my report, they, a number of years ago, said the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are a fringe group who hurt the gay community and they should not be permitted to march. So it's coming from them. In the March on Washington a number of years ago wouldn't allow them to march. And maybe some of the listeners are familiar with Andrew Sullivan. He's the gay guy, very bright guy.
The writer, the
columnist.
The intellectual
father of same-sex marriage. He said, don't count me in with these people. He says, you're getting me to be just like Bill Donahue. Welcome, Andrew. But so it's not just me and you.
No, and I appreciate there are groups out there, you know, like the gays against grooming, and they're exposing a lot of this transgender garbage that's out there. And look, I think it's all hands on deck. I mean, we are literally in the middle of a cultural war in this country. And Bill, you've been sounding the alarm from day one, and I know you catch a lot of flack in the media and in the conservative media, but you're speaking truth to the culture. And, you know, if you're taking flack, you're over the target.
Well, yeah, and Fox News exactly has been censoring me and many other people now for a number of years. They don't want the word to get out on certain kinds of things. They become the new gay-friendly network, and wait till you see what happens in June when they start celebrating Gay Pride Month. We've got to the enemy in our own camp, exactly, not just those on the left.
All right, Bill Donahue from the Catholic League on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So, Bill, what do we need to do here with the L.A. Dodgers, and what are you hearing from Catholics who are fans and maybe live in the area?
Well, here's what we're doing. You have to be I'm a tactician, too. I like to win. You can't just take on the Dodgers and expect to win and having a boycott of the Dodgers. That's silly talk. The people are not going to do that. However, 3 weeks from Friday, that's June the 16th, that's the Gay Pride event where the Sisters are supposed to be honored. I am calling for Catholics and everybody, any person in the Los Angeles area, to boycott that particular game and drive the numbers way down as a sign that we don't that this has gone too far. Today, we mailed out over 300 parishes in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles my report, which I encourage people to read up on our website, detailing the anti-Catholic antics of this group. And we're going to continue to have our mass mailings over the next 3 weeks. And that's our goal, is to punish them on that day and send a message. At least then they'll get the idea that they've gone too far. They're promoting bigotry in the name of combating it. It doesn't get sicker than that.
It's, you know what, you're right. And Bill, when you look at what's happening around the country now, we just played an ad from North Face. They're going gay for June. You've got Target. And it's interesting, in some of the southern states are moving these LGBT displays to the back of the Target stores because the outrage has been so great.
Yeah, well, they should be thrown out in the street. I mean, this is child abuse. When you're talking about minors and you're asking them to transition, a little boy just off his tricycle, asking him, are you satisfied being a boy, or a little girl, are you being satisfied being a girl? And what it does to them physically and mentally, this is child abuse. And if we don't call it child abuse, then we become part of the problem.
Oh, you're right. Bill, I know the great work that you guys do, your incredible team at Catholic League. Where can people go if they want to get more information, they want to help support you guys and your mission?
Go directly to our website, www.CatholicLeague.org, and you'll find a wealth of information of what I'm talking about.
All right, there you go, folks. CatholicLeague.org. The real deal, and it's an honor to fight alongside Bill in the front lines of this battle for the culture. Bill, we appreciate you. Anything you need, just holler.
Thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
All right. There you go. Pitbull, folks, right there. And that's what you have to be. You got to be fighters. And he's not wrong about what he was talking about Fox News. He is not wrong in the direction they're going. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. We are heading right back to the phone, so hang tight. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, some sad news in the world of music. Tina Turner has died. She was 83 years old. You know, it's interesting when you get to a certain age, and I don't think the young people, they get this one, but you know, it's when you people that you never really think age, right? You don't think of Tina. When I heard, I'm like, wow, what happened? Car accident, plane crash? No, she was 83 years old. You just don't think like that. And one of the great singers of all time, there's an interesting, for you folks listening to us in Memphis, of course, in the world of R&B, Memphis is probably the best music city in all of the country. I mean, it really is. And I know Nashville, which has been turned into Nash Vegas and all of that stuff, but really the roots, the heart and the soul of blues, of rock, R&B, soul, even rockabilly, it's right here in this part of the country. And Ike Turner, of course, they had this horrible, you know, marriage. It was just brutal. All over the headlines and the tabloids. But Ike Turner actually used to work at KWAM back when it was a music station. When the station first went on the air, they played country western and they played R&B. They played blues, too. And it became a very, very important station in the development of a lot of musical talent like Ike Turner. B.B. King had a program on KWAM back in the day, as did Johnny Cash, and Elvis Presley played for the very first time in public on the radio on KWAM on the old Saturday Jamboree. So a great musical heritage. I don't sing very well, so but we'll just leave that to the guys back in the day. And of course, Tina Turner from was born in Brownsville, Tennessee, and grew up in the Nutbush community. So there you go. You'll certainly be praying for the family of Tina Turner. All right, let's get to the phones. A lot of people want to weigh in today. Let's go to Ann in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Ann, what's on your mind? All right, we'll... Sorry about that, Ann. I'm not sure what's up with the phone line there. Let's go to Betty, WHKP, in beautiful Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Betty. Who do you like in 2024?
100% Trump, if you want to put 500%. But I do have one that the young man told me I could say this. I do believe in Comer and in Jordan, and they're doing an excellent job. But as the Durham report stated, it's Brennan, who is a communist, and Clapper, and call me that little group. They've got to go further because the whole thing is started through Obama. And until they recognize that he is behind it, because remember when he was running, change is coming. Remember that?
I remember that. And Betty, you remember what Obama said? He promised to fundamentally transform America.
That's what he's doing. And by bringing in all the people, you know, all the immigrants, they're changing. They don't want Americans. They're killing our babies, but yet all of these immigrants, and that's the change. He wants the change, and unless they go after him, which I'd like to see, I probably won't be alive when they finally find out the truth, but that's where it's coming from. And this is the change, and maybe I just asked the young man if I was allowed to say that, but he said as long as they don't swear.
Now, Betty, Josh Rivera, sweet Betty's not going to swear. She's a good church-going lady.
Yeah, I know. That's what he told me. He said, you can mention that as long as you don't swear.
I love it. All right, Betty, well, thank you for the call. And I think you're 1,000% accurate. I really do. Let's go to Orlando in Georgia, WDN. Hey, Orlando, what you got for us? All right, let's go to Mike in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Mike. What's going on? You know, guys, we may be having an issue with our phone lines here. We'll try to get that worked out. My apologies. Every now and again, that happens. I think it's the Chinese. I really do. So, look, we're going to keep track of what happens tonight on Twitter with Ron DeSantis. And, of course, you're going to want to check out Monica Crowley's newsletter, or rather her column coming out on Newsweek. That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. That is after the DeSantis announcement. It's going to be a little weird. You're not going to be able to see DeSantis, but you will be able to hear him. And reportedly, you'll be able to submit questions in writing, and he may or may not answer them, much like they do in the White House press briefings under Joe Biden. One of the things I love about Donald Trump, the man was willing to answer questions, and it didn't matter where those questions came from, and he would do it off the cuff. And you got to respect somebody like that. Remember back in the day, and this is, we're going old school, Sam Donaldson, who used to be a member of the press corps, he was sort of like the little Jimmy Acosta of his time, except he was actually likable. But he and Ronald Reagan would go at it. And it was pretty brilliant what Reagan would do. He would walk out, and they would have the Marine One helicopter on the lawn there of the White House, and they'd get those engines going, and Sam would be screaming the questions at Reagan, and Reagan would always cup the hand to the ear. I'm sorry, Sam. I'd love to be able to answer your questions. I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear you, Sam. What'd you say, Sam? It used to aggravate the press corps. But you got to love Trump. At least he's willing to hang in there. He goes directly to the press. He doesn't back away. He took the fight to him, and he won the day. And you got to respect that. All right, folks, it's been a great, great day. Great calls today. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. And let's see if anybody's mind gets changed this afternoon. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.